Well, today we began a little series on what nature is saying to us. And a lot of that came from just prayer over the last couple of months and interacting with the staff and talking about what was on my heart. And this is what we came up with. I love what God percolates out of a team. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says this: by faith we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. From nothing, boom, God did it. There's one thing I want to have happen today is this: God, get bigger in your heart. There's a couple of things that happens when God gets bigger in your heart. Number one, your faith is going to come alive. Your faith is going to come alive. You remember that? You remember that guy who comes to Jesus and he wants a miracle, and Jesus asks him, "Do you believe?" "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." He realized he needed a little something. I think we live in a time, in a season, where the kingdom of God, the people of God, need a little help. And when God gets bigger, you're going to have a... When God gets bigger in your heart, in your mind, in your space, faith comes alive. The other thing that happens when God gets bigger amongst the people is his glory shows up. And I'm hoping and I'm praying over the next few weeks, his glory just shows up. Now, I think that's going to happen not just in this house, when you're driving down the road, when you're brushing your teeth, when you're doing unexpected moments of wow. Don't miss that wow. Don't miss the opportunity to say, "Thank you, Lord." Amen. That is so important. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky." Did you see it today? Huh? Did you see it when you were coming in? I mean, I don't know about you, but instantaneously I got leaves on my trees at home. I mean, like overnight I got leaves. Where'd they come? I mean, it's amazing how that works. You did see that. I mean, you do. Created. Listen, through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Lord, in the next few moments, captivate our heart with your word. Help us, Lord. Help us to know the invisible. And may the invisible become tangible in this house, in our hearts. We love you, Lord. Bless your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, some of you, I know some of you, and you're not going to be able to listen. Miss Linda's not here in the early, because Emily played the piano. Didn't she do good? I just appreciate so much these FSU students just jumping in and getting involved. Don't you? Amen. So Linda's at home preparing for birthday. That's good, isn't it? Hallelujah. He created it. God created it. Now think about it. He says this invisible God is seen. That's a major paradox in my head. I don't know about you. How can the invisible be seen? How can the invisible be tangible? The scripture says God is spirit. That's invisible. But yet somehow he becomes visible. Because he's God. Notice what the writer says. For ever since the world was created, the world was created. And I don't know about you, but I love going to exhibits that display nature and creation and all that. And in our evolutionary world, they tell us that the world is billions and millions of years old. And, you know, and they think that's a problem for us who believe that God created heaven and earth. But, you know, if God is God, he can create things with the appearance of age. You know, that rock may measure several billion years, but he might have spoken into existence with the appearance of age. You know, it goes back to the old adage about Adam. Was he created with a belly button or not? And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter. And this is what I know. They want to measure the earth in a certain diagram. It doesn't matter, because I believe that there is a creator God who spoke it all into existence. And however they want to measure his activity, that's okay with me, because I know this. This invisible God that is immeasurable in so many ways, it doesn't surprise me that he creates something that is immeasurable in so many ways, just like the gift of salvation. Immeasurable what he has done in my heart, in my life. This invisible God came down to earth, sent his only begotten son, and became flesh to die. Ever since he created it, people have seen. So it's not that he is invisible, but his handiwork, his activity. You know, one of the greatest blessings of my life is watching other people be blessed by God. I mean, just watching them get saved, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, get blessed, get healed. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to watch God's activity on somebody else's life. And you and I need to learn to celebrate that. And that is a part of our worship. You see, people have seen. That means you and I need to be observant of what God is doing. Sometimes we can get so complacent and take for granted, the sun's coming up today. Oh my goodness, the sun came up today. And guess what? Tonight, when you go outside, the universe is going to be on display. The universe that he spoke into existence. The universe that you and I cannot fathom how big and broad and majestic it is. But this is our God who spoke it into existence. My goodness. Creative process that God... we can't fathom it. How did he do that? And there's so many theories out there about creation, you know. There's evolution, there's six-day theory, there's this theory, there's that theory. And the writer of Hebrews kind of nails it home. By faith, we believe God created. You know, I really don't know how my truck runs. I really don't know how electricity works. Turn that light switch on and it works. Guess what I'm going to do? Turn the light switch on. I don't understand how it works, but I'm going to turn. I'm not walking around in the dark. You don't have to understand something to figure out that it's a reality. And some people want to figure it all out before they realize. See, what creation is telling us is that there's a designer behind what you see. That what you see can't just happen by itself in some mythological mud. And the Bible makes it very clear that God spoke it through everything that God made. It is saying something. You can see the invisible qualities of the Maker behind it all. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, it says this: all honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Listen to it. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities and the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before everything else, and he holds all creation together. Amen. That's my Jesus. Yes. Verse 18, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, the supreme one over who will rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all of his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Like I was saying earlier, I can't understand all that. But one day, I'm going to know. One day I'm going to be translated from this world to the next. And I'm going to behold that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27 says that it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Now, that's hard for us, because I don't know about you, but I want to know where I'm going. I mean, if I don't know, I kind of like Google Maps. You know, I punch, okay, this is how I need to go. And guess what? Sometimes Google Maps has sent me the wrong way. My God sends everybody one way. His name is Jesus. And no one comes unto the Father but through Jesus. He's mapped it out. Why? Because the invisible God became visible, became tangible. We saw his activity. Oh, think about it just for a moment. Creation tells the story that there's a maker behind it all. And then when Jesus shows up, his miracles, his transformational grace that takes place in people's lives transforms their hearts and lives in such a dynamic way that the lost become found and the sinner becomes saint. It's a beautiful thing to see the display of God's activity. Amen. Through Jesus, what is invisible becomes visible. And the love of God is set on display. in the love of God that is indescribable, unfathomable, comes to display in the life and sacrifice of Christ. And aren't you glad the cross didn't stop his love? It displayed. Aren't you glad his death didn't stop his love? No, he arose again. Why? So he could love and keep loving. Keep loving. Praise God. Think about it. What has been seen? What invisible qualities are being seen? What invisible qualities are being seen? They are invisible, so how can they be seen? The vastness of creation speaks of a great creator. The order in creation speaks of a designer. This is what the scripture says. God measures the heavens as if they are nothing. The universe is small in his hands. Oh, the greatness of my creator God. God weighs all of creation in the palm of his hand, as the scripture says. Do you hear how big your God is? And you're worried about that little thing that's burdening your heart? If he holds it all in the palm of his hand, he can take care of your stuff. He can take care of it. You think, the world thinks, the people, they think you can instruct a God how he can do his business? God has a plan and purpose, and guess what? That plan and purpose has you in mind. That plan and purpose has your best in mind. He came to give you abundant life. You can trust the God who spoke it all into existence. You can trust the God who just didn't create it and step back. He intervened in creation. You say, Pastor Larry, how did he do that? He did it with Abraham. He did it with Moses. This invisible God rested on a burning bush and changed history. Delivered the people. They walked through on dry ground in the bed of the Red Sea. This God who spoke things into existence can part waters with ease. And what are you worried about? This God who touched Moses and Joshua. Think about it. Well, you know, it's interesting to note that God had a plan. You know, I believe, I know believers who think we just got to just trust the Spirit and not have a plan. I mean, God had a plan for Moses. God had a plan to march around the Jericho. God had a plan, and you and I need to tap into that plan. And part of that plan is go and make disciples into all nations. And when you tap into the plan of God, your blessing begins to flow in a supernatural way. It's an amazing thing when you begin to participate with the Creator, invisible God, how he joins up with you and blesses you in ways you can't even fathom. He takes my little and he makes it much. That's what God does. Matter of fact, the Lord doesn't need my wisdom. Have you ever thought of that? As smart as you are, as wise as you are, as much history as you know, God doesn't need your wisdom. Matter of fact, your wisdom compared to this invisible God. I'm not saying God doesn't want to use you, but I think we all know God doesn't need me. He doesn't need me, but he chose me. Oh, glory to God. He chose me to be on his team. this invisible God is now yoked up with me. That's why Jesus can say, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Glory to God, the God who spoke it all into existence, this invisible God whom you see on display with the works of creation is walking with me. This invisible God who's yoked up with me is doing invisible things inside of my life, transforming me into the image of his Son so that I can be his servant who does what Jesus did, love people into his kingdom. Amen? See, the nations are a drop in the bucket. The scripture says they're dust on the scale. To God, he holds the whole earth as it were a grain of sand. Man, this is God. And people want to make an image of this invisible God. You can't make an image of an image. Be careful what you worship. I think it speaks of this desire within human nature, this empty hole that wants to be filled, and men in their own frailty create things that they give their lives to, and in reality, it's an imagination of their own heart, their own soul, their own spirit of what they want God to look like and be like. But in reality, God is way above you. You cannot fathom him. You cannot comprehend this invisible God who spoke it all into existence. You need a divine revelation, and that's why he sent his Son. Amen. Jesus. You and I are nothing compared to the invisible God, this holy God, this majestic, all-powerful creator of heaven and earth. He created everything in it. Scripture says he makes creation his tent. He humbles the mighty and makes them nothing. Carrying men off like the blowing of the chaff by the wind. You know what I know? Your life, my life, is but a vapor. Poof. And the longer you live, the shorter life becomes. I remember talking to him. My friend in North Carolina, he was one of the guys that marched up the cliffs on D-Day, was wounded. His parents signed him up. He was 16 years old. I'm sitting there on the porch, and he's an old man. At least I thought he was old. I said, Pastor, I was 16 years old, storming the beach, and I turned around, and I'm 70. Your life's but a vapor. Your life's but a vapor. You barely take root, and poof. You barely take root, and you're gone. But the Lord lasts forever. That's why it's important that you and I abide in him. Take root in him. Because once you attach yourself to the root that never dies, you have what he has. Eternal life. Eternal life. Oh, praise God. Through all of this creative order, something about God is revealed. They can see his eternal power, his divine nature. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26 says this, "Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars?" Question mark. "He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing." Now, what's he talking about here? The stars. And if he thinks that much about the stars, I want to think what he thinks about you created in his image. Huh? Verse 27, O Jacob, how can you say, the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say, God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of all of the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will be weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those, the King James Version says, wait on the Lord. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Amen. There's something wonderful about a creator God who knows how to strength into your life. Oh, I know what it is to be weary. You ever been weary? Just tired, on the verge of discouragement. God, are you really? Can you hear me? Can I tell you to look around? Can I tell you to look up into the heavens? The God who hangs the stars and knows them all by name is the same one who walks with you to lift you up, to carry you through things you never thought you could, because he is God. He is spirit. The greatness of his power displayed in his might on the work of salvation. Can you touch salvation? Well, can you touch it? No, I can't touch it, but I know I'm free. Why? By faith. Amen? Can you see it? But you can't. Oh, listen, I can't see it, but I know the display of it. The joy unspeakable and full of glory. I know the peace of it. I know the transformative power of it. I know what it is to not remember my sins anymore. I know what it is to not have them attached to my being anymore. I know what it is to live free. Let me tell you about a Savior, this invisible God who became flesh and set me free. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know his power. He's manifest in your heart, in your life. This leaves humanity, the writer of Romans will say, without any excuse that this God who created it all should see something behind the flower, the fruit. There's a God. Think about it. Reflection of God on creation. Oh, now wait just a minute here. The Bible calls me a new creation. Paul talks about me reflecting his glory. You see something, there's something grander in the house than creative activity of God in nature. It's the creative activity of God in our hearts, in our lives, that somehow us, created from the dust of the earth, composed in the DNA of Adam and Eve's sin, disobedience to God, yet God, through his mercy, redeems us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this dust now begins to reflect the glory of him who created it all into existence, because he did something supernatural in my life. The invisible God became tangible and changed my life. Amen. Glory to God. And he hears my prayers. And he don't only hear my prayers, he answers my prayers. Think about that for a moment. This God who holds the world in the palm of his hands, The creation's just dust. The nations are dust. A speck of dust on the scale. And he hears me. And he answers me. And he declares, if anyone asks in my name, I'll do it. Oh my. This is a God I want to serve. This is a God that I don't want to mess up the reflective quality that the stars have. I mean, you know, the moon has no light in and of itself. It only reflects the sun. Help me, Lord, to reflect the sun. The sun. Oh my. I don't know about you, but I want to apprehend the work of the Spirit for this generation. What does that mean? I don't want the Spirit just passing by. I want to get in the middle of it. I want to apprehend it. I want to take hold of it. I don't want to hear stories of yesterday. I want now. I want now. In John 3:8, it says this, the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Yeah, the wind, you don't know. Listen, there is a Spirit. The Spirit of the living God who wants to blow across his church and revive things that we've seen dead a long time. Now it's time for them to come to life. Listen, I don't care which direction the wind comes. I just want the wind of the Spirit. I want his creative agency at work in my life. I want people born again. Yes. Well, the real question is, have you perceived the unseen God at work in your life? I need the worship team back up here. Listen to it. Behind it all, the Creator, the all-powerful, the divine lover of mankind. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. For it is the power of God at what? At work. When? Oh, let it be now, Lord. Huh? Let it be tomorrow when I wake up. Always at work, saving everyone who believes. By faith, they believe God's created. And by faith, the invisible God becomes tangible in his gift of salvation. By faith, by faith. To contemplate creation is to discover the Lord God who set it all in order. You know, the truth of the matter is, language is powerless to describe an invisible God. You can't define something that's undefinable. But look around you. See the activity of God. Look at the flowers, the trees in bloom, and the stirring of the Holy Spirit. In my life, in your life. Oh God, do it again. I mean, Lord, if the sun can come up every day, let your Spirit stir my heart every day. Let the invisible become tangible every day of my life, Lord. Let the invisible God become a living word inside of me
that transforms me and allows me to reflect His glory, His creative nature to a world that needs desperately His love. His love. Stand with me, would you? This God, this all-powerful, all-knowing God, wants to step in afresh and anew in your life. I know you've known the Lord a long time. Some of you have known Him a long time, but let me tell you something. I believe with all my heart this is a season for a fresh touch, a fresh invasion of the invisible through the tangible work of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here this morning. You don't know Him. You don't know Him. This is what the Bible says. Taste and see that God is good. You know what Thomas said in the upper room? I'm not going to believe till I touch Him. Till I experience. I'm not. And the next thing you know, Jesus is there. Thomas, touch me. He'll do that for you too. I don't know. We're going to worship the Lord and let His glory touch us again. And if you're in need of salvation, these altars are, if you're in need of God just stepping into your world afresh and anew, this invisible becoming tangible in your life, if there's a burden on your heart and your life, I just invite you to come and allow the invisible to become yoked up with you in such a way that peace falls.